In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. We venerate your holy icon, loving Lord, asking you to pardon our transgressions, Christ our God. For you of your own will were pleased to ascend upon the cross in the flesh, so as to deliver those whom you have fashioned from the bondage of the enemy. Therefore, in thanksgiving, we sing to you, you filled all things with your joy, our Savior, when you came to save the world. We've heard this hymn twice already today, and we'll be hearing it four more times when we do the procession. And I wonder how many of us think of the triumph of Orthodoxy for our meditation, as this hymn says, to be a meditation where we're asking God for forgiveness. Because a lot of times we can be triumphalistic about our faith. And we can say, well, this is a celebration of the day where we were right. But God is right. And we have to continuously pursue this connection, this relationship with God. And that today is a celebration that we can ask for forgiveness and receive it. Forgiveness of our offenses. It's so wonderful that we can make a change in our life because God gives us this power, that the Holy Spirit fills us and moves us to return to the one whose icon is a sign that he has come and healed us. That which, as St. Gregory the theologian says, that which was not assumed cannot be healed. And now Christ, having assumed flesh, can heal us who are in the flesh. And he can also sanctify soul and body. And this period of Great Lent, where we heighten our prayer and fasting, we may say, well, if prayer and fasting and almsgiving are so important, then why not just have just one big Lent all year? Why do we do periodic things like this? And we are in the confines of time and space, so it's not that restraint and dependence on God and good works of love are not important all year round, but we do have seasons of different meditations. Christ is always risen now, but there are periods where we certainly, the meditation may seem far from that, like Holy Thursday or Holy Week. But we fast because Christ is risen. Didn't St. Paul say, if the dead are not raised, then eat and drink, for tomorrow we die? So our restraint and our reliance on God is also a testimony to the resurrection, even though we may be looking at it in a different way. But in the hymns of the resurrection, we say, let us purify our senses. So we could say to ourselves, well, we just got done trying to purify our senses. Doesn't Pascha mean go back to your usual ways? No, that Lent is sort of the training wheels of the rest of the year. And that even though we may have a festive delivery, a festive meditation, our tables may be fuller and our stomachs may be a little fuller, we don't ever say we should go out of control with anything at any time. And that's why one of the preparational gospel readings of this period was the prodigal son, who was wasteful of his father's resources. And because of this waste, he was not respecting his own life or his father's, because when you ask, give me my whole inheritance, you're essentially saying, he was essentially saying to his father that he was dead to him as well. And that all kinds of sin, small and big, according to our judgment, do not respect life. Whoever disobeys the least of my commandments, Christ says, will be called least in the kingdom. But this icon of Christ gives light. And when his light is imprinted on us, then we can see Christ's icon imprinted on us and on others. And this fasting period is supposed to heighten our awareness of the good works and the love that we're supposed to share with others. Because when we are wasteful, with the mentality, eat and drink for tomorrow we die, we become wasteful and in want. And when we're wasteful with the gifts that God has given us, our time, our talents, our treasures, our spiritual gifts, whatever he has bestowed on us, if we're wasteful of those things, then we forget to see Christ in ourselves and in others, and then whoever may be seen as someone who needs care turns into somebody who gets in our way. And we do see this attitude directed towards infants born and unborn, the elderly, the sick, the suffering, the poor, the criminals. But Christ told us just a few weeks ago in the gospel reading, I was sick and you visited me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink, and so on. In prison and you visited me. So we have to be looking for the icon of Christ in every person, as tarnished as it may have become in ourselves or others, because, as we said in the hymn, and as we will say multiple times, that with Christ we can ask him for forgiveness, and he has come to restore this icon. Another reflection of fasting, which His All Holiness Patriarch Bartholomew speaks about in the book Encountering the Mystery, he talks about how we have to pray and fast so that we can learn how to wait. And by waiting, meaning that we know that we have to rely on God to take care of us. And that when we learn how to wait, then that reduces our want and it reduces our waste. And of course, as I said, that affects how we take care of others, and it affects how we use the resources in our environment and in our lives. And all of those kinds of waste, all kinds of sin, visible and invisible, in thought, word, and deed, all of those things are offenses against life itself. But this icon is restored in Christ. What a beautiful thing that is. And what an amazing thing that we can turn to Him in repentance. We are not able to see what we've done wrong unless we allow the light of Christ to be near. And though it might be uncomfortable to accept what we've done wrong, the light and the truth, to think that it's so close to us when we notice something that we can do differently, we must not flee from that blessing, but we say, thank God that He's so close to me and that He will, and that He will. If we get to the point where we say, I know this is wrong, but I don't know how to do it differently, say that to God. I know Your light is close. Guide me and put my heart and my feet and my whole self where I need to be. And never forget that each one of us is a unique person loved by God. And when we see the icon of Christ on each one of us, on our brothers and sisters, this will unite us in the communion of the Holy Spirit. I wish all of you a continued endurance. May the Lord bless all of us and grant us the ability to come and see. And to be an example of that, because the come and see that Philip and Nathaniel were talking, that when Philip said to come and see, he said to come and see Christ. And again, this is not a triumphalistic attitude where he said, you have it all wrong, I'm right. He said, come and see. And I think that this is the invitational approach that we have to take. The Samaritan woman, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. And experience again. Not I'm right and you're wrong, because there's too much of that. Does anybody listen anymore when we get like that? This is an experience. Christ is an experience. Christ's love. Come and see this. And when we're participating in that love, when we're receiving forgiveness and offering forgiveness, this love of God is a way that helps the world to see the icon of Christ and how beautiful it is. To Christ our God be all glory, honor, and worship. Together with His eternal Father and His all holy and good and life-creating Spirit, now and forever and unto the ages of ages.
Amen.